If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is so great to be with you guys. It's Tuesday. It's 10 o'clock. It's when we always record. Now, Wayne's not with us today. He's the freaking man. Just want to say love and support that dude. But yeah, he's not going to be with us. So I'm flying solo today. Hope that's okay. Sorry. You don't get the whole John and Wayne show. But there's so much stuff to talk about. This is episode 1557 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. The 49ers are back in control. That is what the title of today's show is going to be. The notes that we're going to go through, some things that I've taken away from film. We just loaded the first half offensive breakdown over up on the 49ersrush.com on our Patreon. Go check that out. Before this week is over, we'll have every offense, defense, and special teams play broken down. That is there. And we have to say thank you to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, David Gill. You guys make this show happen. And shout out to the countdown crew. What's up, Steven? He was first in there. Bro, all the hashtag CCs. I love it. I love it. I love it. And look at Joe. He says, I'm looking forward to watching the 49ers first half offense versus the Cardinals. I see it's up. Man, it was fun to watch. Like, that is some good tape. Like, when you watch tape, you know, it's funny because there's been a lot of frustrating tape this year. This was the first time where, and I think I said this after the live show or the post game show. It felt like 2023 49ers. It really did. And I know that this team's not like the 2023 49ers in a lot of ways. Like, it just doesn't work. They're not as good defensively at all. But it just felt like, man, high potent, efficient offense. Special teams is new. And the defense did what they had to do with the three turnovers. You got the missed field goal in there. That adds to it as well. Like, it just felt like 2023 49ers. Now, a lot of that, the Cardinals are a dumpster fire, but it's a divisional game. And you just watch the tape and you're just like, nice, nice. This is awesome. This is good. This is great. It doesn't mean every single play was great or every drive was great. But, man, the first half offensive tape, you just walked away just thinking, man, this team can do some things. So I'm with you there, Joe. And look at Ben. He says, you know, on to 8-4. Let's go. Let's go. Danilo. He says, hashtag CC, going to my first Niner game. Where's a good place to sit? Well, it's going to be a Monday Night Football game, so you're not going to have a bad seat in the house because Levi's, the way they built it, doesn't work if it's hot, but I don't think Monday's going to fit into that. So me personally, the 200s or 300s in between the 20s, that is my favorite place to sit. That's my favorite place to sit. But yeah, if you're trying to save money, the 300s, man, you get a low row in between the 20-yard lines. You're going to get the best view in the house, in my own personal opinion. Now, Monday night games have been spiking all across the NFL. So I always tell people, wait to buy your tickets. If you're for Monday Night Football, I would buy, 1 to 3 days before the event. But anyway, hopefully that works out. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. As always, we're going to get to your questions. I've got a lot of notes that I want to get to. Look at this. Big Red, always talking some Texas high school football. He says, big game versus Waxahachie, John. Man, I saw somebody wearing a Waxahachie hat. I think the Comanches, I believe, is what they're, at least what they used to be. All the way out in Arizona, which I thought was cool. I sparked up a conversation, talked to him for a little while. Good dude. There we go. Wade Sidekick. I'll take that all day. That is a huge compliment. Yeah, but thank you for all of the hashtag CCs. I love it. And we already got Kimbro. Man, I love you, Kimbro. Thank you for the super chat. You are the best. I hope everything's going all right. He said, thank you for at least being faithful, John. I didn't read the rest of that comment. But man, I love you, dude. Hope all's well. I don't know if you're joking or serious, but either way, we're in your corner, man. If you need to reach out, please do so. 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. It's been rough with all the traveling this season, getting to all the emails, questions, and DMs. I'm trying really, really hard, but man, we've already done 6 road trips this year, which is the most we've ever done. We still have 2 more to go, which I'm super excited about, but the negative of that is just flying back and forth and back-to-back road games twice this year. I'm just finding myself behind in a lot of just the day-to-day answering emails, getting everything done, all the content put out and all that stuff. So I really do apologize about that. That's something that we are striving as a 49ers Rush staff to get done better. So anyway, 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. If I haven't gotten back to you, I apologize. We are trying. We are trying very, very diligently to get caught up there. But I mean, it's a great problem to have. Absolutely love the fact that, one, this is my job, and two, you're spending time with us, and that means the world to us. I mean, shoot, we're 1,557 shows in, and you're still watching this crazy stuff? Love you guys. You are the best. A lot of that has to do with the 49ers. I understand that. And, man, what a great game. What a great game. And look at John. What's up, John? He says, it's going to be good to see Brock and them build on that Cardinals game. I think that that's huge. To have that come back and Pearsall, like, that's one of the things I want to talk about is Pearsall and Purdy. But golly, Brock just looked good. And on the very first play, pass play, right? You go out there, you get your one play touchdown drive after the elite special teams play. That was fun. But then the next drive, Brock Purdy's first pass, which was basically just a throwaway to CMC in the flats. Everything was covered. He just, airmailed it to the sideline. But you saw 13 step into the throw. You saw the weight transfer to the front foot. And it was just like, I was live. I was in Arizona for the game, but I didn't notice that. But you go through the tape and you watch the all 22 in both angles. And you're just like, yes. There were 3 things that I wanted to see from Brock Purdy. Number one, can he transfer his weight forward on his plant foot whenever he's throwing the ball? Brock Purdy does not have a strong arm by any NFL metric at all. And for the people that are like, oh, but his arm got stronger after the injury. That's fine. I'm telling you, Brock Purdy's arm's not strong in the NFL. But that's okay because he's an anticipation, understand coverage, get to the open man, quick processor, all those things. But the bad or weaker arm, that's probably the better way to say it from an NFL standpoint, without that planting on that front foot was catastrophic. You look at the Jacksonville game, the 4 interceptions. You look at the second half of the Seattle game, even though they won. That scary stuff. But on the very first pass, even though it was a throwaway, dude plants forward fully, transfers weight forward, and it was just like, all right. That's 1 out of 3. The other 2 were, man, can he escape in the pocket and have that kind of, get away, and can he reach his top speed GPS-wise? Well, 2 out of 3 of those were answered. Brock's mobility in the pocket looked great. Now, we did not see any Brock Purdy scrambles, right? He had 1 rush attempt on a sack for -7 yards, but you didn't see him taking off. So two out of three of the Chapman checklist, why Brock should be back, were answered. Still haven't seen Brock scramble, right? And try to get aggressive with that rushing attack, which became lethal in that 2023 season. Actually, no, it was 2024 last year, whenever he started scrambling a lot. So, and like just becoming a rushing threat. But man, if he can build on those things, and you put up 40 points, it's hard to build on 40 points. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you go further than that? If 49ers are going to score 40 points, they're going to have a hell of a year. They're going to have a hell of a year. And it's just going to keep going, which I love. Right here, Silent. Appreciate you, man, on the super chat. He says, Collins, arrow up. Martin needs more playing time. Let's let him eat. Couple things. Yes and yes. One of my favorite things in the post-game press conferences, which George Kittle's always great, whenever he talked about Alfred Collins, he called him Alfred Morris, which I thought was really funny. But and I was going to cut the clip, but I've stopped doing that because the NFL's being really weird, and I don't want to throw certain people who cover the 49ers and their audio, whatever, their whatever. I'm not doing it because people are fighting over monetization now, and the Niners are in that as well. So anyway, I'm not touching that because I'm being flagged. YouTube's trying to take my channel away completely. What you get, if you haven't followed us on other platforms besides YouTube, please do so because there's a strong chance this channel will be pulled down, and we're going to continue going whether they do so or not. But we are fighting through litigation currently. Anyway, we're going to make it work. The NFL is a behemoth. And then partnering with YouTube, it's a whole nother thing. And it's all for videos that I did like years and years ago. But anyway, all that to say this. George Kittle gets up there and says, how cool is it that the rookie Alfred Collins is playing so hard and hustling every single play, no matter where the ball is on the field? And that is one of the things that I have been screaming as we watch tape week in, week out, is that you see big number 95 doing all the hard work. He's the biggest dude on the field, and like he out hustles everybody, and it's paying off and it's contagious. Like Alfred Collins, arrow up 100%. How cool is it that your tight end is congratulating defensive tackle hustle effort plays? Man. So awesome. And yeah, you talk about Martin, which I have not gotten to the defensive all 22 tape yet. So like, understand this is based off of a live performance and then rewatching the broadcast view on a plane. So I got my phone out there, whatever else. I watched some Stranger Things and the football game. I did both. But I'm trying to get caught up on a rewatch of Stranger Things before the next season comes out. Me and the family always watch those together. So anyway, the regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The Faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Trollco runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. But yeah, you look at just Nick Martin's stat sheet and kind of what he went out there and did. Now, was it, you know, amazing? No, he's one of the lowest rated players, but he got 14 snaps and yeah, four tackles and 14 snaps is incredible. You know, the coverage, that's kind of the issue. Gave up four catches on four targets for 49 yards. But coverage is not what Nick Martin brings. And if he's going to play that Sam role, which I said is what I wanted to happen, and people were like, no, he's too light. You can't play him at Sam, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, dude, Robert Saleh loves playing undersized backers everywhere. Anyway, not that it's like a victory lap or whatever, but I'm very thankful that they did what they did. And Nicholas Martin looked great. His effort, his tackling, that is what is great. But it's still like his coverage was always going to be an issue. Now, you use him as a Sam backer. The new NFL and what the Rams kind of put on tape was, dude, you put three tight ends out there, force the coverage backer, and then you go at him. That was Luke Gifford, right? And he did not do very well in that area against the Rams. I'm not sure Nicholas Martin's going to do better. But you know Nick Martin is a part of your future. You know Nick Martin is a part of what it is you're trying to build. This is good for him to get that experience. It's good for him to get those 14 snaps. And like, I hope that stays. Like, I want Nick Martin to continue to get kind of 12 to 20 snaps and that's it. I don't want Nick Martin getting 25, 30 snaps. I think that would be detrimental to his growth. I want him just to continue to build on confidence, a small package of plays, all those things, and try to grow into that, especially the bye week coming up. I'm not trying to rush things. So like, I love that transition has happened. I really, really do. Now, nuanced take, that's what we're here for. That's what we do, right? Luke Gifford gets benched on the Sam backer, that number three backer that comes into base personnel, right? Well, that's fine. He goes out and has one of the greatest special teams performances I've ever seen. Dude is absolute 5'7". From a special team standpoint, like, I think that there are three key special teams players this year that has led to the shift. It being a horrible special teams unit to a great one. Eddie DeNiro is now hurt. So like, that sucks because it's like, man, this dude's been a staple. You're going to have to get a fill in and hopefully you get him back. But man, even if he misses up through the bye week, you get him back. Now you're in, we'll talk playoffs at the end of this episode. But like, gosh, got to start with him. Thomas Morstead. Great. Top five punter this year. Incredible. But from a non-kicker standpoint, Luke freaking Gifford, what he has done, dude, second in the NFL in special teams tackles. He had four solo tackles in the first half on kickoff coverage alone. We had four kickoffs in the first half. You had four tackles from 57. Like, let me just say this. And I posted all four of the clips on social media. It's up on Twitter. Eric's going to get it up on Instagram later. If you haven't seen it there, Facebook, or wherever you do or don't follow. But if you don't follow us there, man, go sign up at the49ersrush.com and just watch the breakdown today. Please, please, please. It's first half offense mixed with the special teams play. It is worth, and it's free. Sign up. Get a 7-day free trial. Won't cost you a penny. Watch it. Cancel. I don't care. If you like what we do, stay there. That's how I'm going to feed my family. That's why I get to do this full time. but Luke Gifford alone is worth the price of admission all year. 57 on special teams has changed the entire narrative, for lack of a better word, on what they've been able to do. He is so consistently great. This dude is a Pro Bowler. Like, if Luke Gifford is not a Pro Bowler this year, because you get that like you get a punter, you get a long snapper, you get a kicker, and you get one special teams player, generic, whatever. Dude, it's him. It's not even close. Yeah, Filthy Casual Fan says, seemed like every special teams play, Gifford was getting the tackle. Dude, it is. Like, I hope people understand. Like, there's always going to be videos out there of Purdy and Pearsall and CMC and Kittle and whatever else. Special teams play has been gigantic this year. And, you know, I was looking at just like EPA and like, which I don't like that stuff, but it's kind of hard to measure special teams the right way. Well, over on Pro Football Reference, like, they measure every single game, right? And you get a EPA special team score. And 49ers started off really poor. You had a negative 10.2 EPA the first week, which was by far the worst. You've only had three negative EPA games. You had week four against the Jacksonville Jaguars, negative 4.55, and then negative 0.03 against the Falcons. That's it. All the other ones have been positive. But not like this week. Listen to these scores, okay? Week two, positive 2.4. This is all special teams EPA grades, right? Week three, positive 2.1. Week five, positive 4.6. Week six, positive 6.7. Week eight, positive 7.9. Week nine, positive 5.3. Last week against Rams, positive 2.0. Still positive, but not great. This week against the Cardinals, positive 11.58. Like, almost twice the best special teams game the 49ers have had all year. A lot of that has to do with Luke Gifford. That's with two extra point misses. That's with a giant punt return allowed. Shoot, that was 100% on Darrell Luter Jr. and Isaac Garendo. Shock me. Stop me if you've heard that before. But good gosh, man. Like, a positive 11.5? Why? Sky Moore, right? Huge. Eddie Pinheiro, huge. Thomas Morstead, huge. Cyron Neal, huge. But none bigger. None bigger than 57 Luke Gifford. Listen to me whenever I tell you this. This dude is the best special teams player the 49ers have had since I started covering the team. It's a big deal. I hope people are like, what? We're talking about special teams? Yeah, man. It has made a huge difference. Howdy. Sky's return value is starting to pay off. Yeah. On kickoff return and punt return. Oh, I freaking love it, man. I freaking love it. It's huge. It is huge. Now, we've got some more super chats that I've got to get to. And so I apologize. I went on a special teams rant, which you guys watch the show. You know, I can't help myself. It's bad. It's really, really bad. But I want to talk about the 49ers overcoming injuries. I want to talk more about Ricky Pearsall. I want to talk more about a record. We got a lot more right after this. Guys, we have been working with MyBookie for almost 8 years now. And it doesn't matter what it is that you want to bet on. You want a casino. You want to bet on football, draft, over-unders, player props, basketball, baseball, politics, you name it. They got it all. So go to MyBookie, use promo code 49ers, and you're going to get a bet back bonus, which means when you bet something and you click to opt in and you don't win that bet, you get it all back. Comes with a one-time rollover, which is like nothing. And again, this is a site that you can trust because we've been using them all the time. And if you're one of those people that's just like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know where to find the stuff, whatever else. Well, we take care of that for you as well. Over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon page, we post our weekly season-long draft bets, everything 49ers, every single week. We post them on Friday or Saturday, depending on the game. And so, and we walk you through. We have how-to videos, how to do a teaser bet, how to do parlays, all that different stuff. So if you want to get involved and you want to check it, bet anything, anytime at MyBookie and use promo code 49ers. That's 49ERS for your bet back bonus. You're in charge. Yeah, we post our bets every week. We went 4 of 6. It was a really light week betting because I wanted to see what the offense would look like with, you know, Purdy back and Pearsall back and all that stuff. But yeah, 4 of 6, another very, very positive week, which I like. I like making people money. Any bet we put up. And again, the one we missed was the Pearsall over on receiving yards. But let me tell you this. This is all about the game plan of the Arizona Cardinals defense. Ricky Pearsall was their priority. And you start watching that tape. Dude, they are fading heavy to wherever number one was. And that was a big reason why the 49ers offense was so good. Dude, Pearsall's running a clear out route on the very first third down of the game. It was like 3rd and 8, I think. They have two guys bracketing Pearsall deep. Remember, last two games, Ricky Pearsall had over 100-plus yards both games against the Cardinals. They came out and said, we're not going to let number one beat us. And they didn't, but everybody else did. And so that Juwan Jennings, like, he just ran a deep out route for, like, I think it was like 15 yards on that first third down. That was all Ricky Pearsall. It was exaggerated flood concept where you have the shallow CMC, which they have to respect CMC. So they drove shallow on that and their flat defender. And then you had two, the outside corner and outside safety, staying with Pearsall deep. And that intermediate route to Juwan Jennings just break outside the numbers, wide open. There were a Cardinals defender within 8 yards of them. And it was like that in the end zone. It was like that in the couple almost turnover plays where they were like in an inverted Tampa 2 to try to undercut that drift route concept that Shanahan always runs to Ricky Pearsall. Like, they knew it was coming. Like, Ricky Pearsall got pretty close to having like 2 touchdowns and about 60 yards. But the like as a primary read wide receiver, and Ricky looked great on his cuts and his pivots and his routes. His blocking is one of the highest blocking wide receivers we had. Juwan Jennings, lowest blocking graded wide receiver again. But whatever, I'll digress. Pearsall's fine. So, like, the stat watchers, the box, I'm a little bit with McVay here. Stats are for losers, right? I don't know if you heard that sound clip, whatever else. But, man, Pearsall's fine. So, for you fantasy people or whatever, or like, I'm just telling you right now, Ricky Pearsall is fine. There ain't nothing wrong with that dude. And trust me, start him next week. I hope this knocks down his receptions. I hope it knocks down his receiving yards. I will be betting ample Ricky Pearsall next week because the film says that. Like, he's the primary read on a lot of plays with Brock Purdy. And so I'm just telling you that is coming. Shout out to Lieutenant Simple Jack. Awesome episode. I want to tell everybody, like, this is Rob Lauder of the Striking Gold podcast, for those of you that don't know. It's my go-to whenever, you know, I'm on the road. And we had such a great time this week. It was a really, really cool time in Arizona. That chapter is incredible. The facilities there are awesome. Love the stadium. So easy to get out. But anyway, whenever I am waking up to head to the airport and going through security, all that stuff, Striking Gold, it's my go-to. I think he's kind of one of the best in the business. Just at recapping the game and just having like a cool vibes to it and whatever else. So thank you, Rob. You are the freaking man. Good friend. Great what you do for the community. You are the man. Look at this. Plugged in TV says Booby Dixon vibes. Talking about Luke Gifford. Dude, I got to hang out with Booby Dixon this weekend. He was at our event. Got to share a couple drinks with the man. He was incredible. Like, he is exactly as you would expect Anthony Dixon to be in person. Dude's huge. Everybody kept, he's like, I didn't know how big he was. Yeah, dude is huge. But personality for days. Deshaun Goldston came and hang out with us. That was awesome. Frank Gore showed up unannounced. Yeah, he called, but like, that was cool. It was a great time. And I got to meet Steven. That was really cool. So shout out to Steven Draper. Thank you for the super chat. It was great meeting you, John. Awesome time. Dude, that just, I could go on names for days because of just how great people were. And, you know, it was cool. It was cool. Yeah, right here. Big, big heck. Booby left, but his heart stayed with the 40. It's not even close, man. Like, that dude. Yeah, he's players are awesome. And especially players that want to come out and meet the fans. But sometimes you just get like these dudes that are just, man, want to be a part of the community and want to celebrate and enjoy life. And like, it's just cool whenever it just syncs up, right? He's cool. He's such a cool dude. Like, you ever get the chance and you see him at an event, whether it's mine or anybody else's, don't care. Take the time, go introduce yourself, have a good time. He's the freaking man. I'm thankful that I got the opportunity just to say hi and hang out with him and all that stuff. Deshaun Golson, he was repping our hat, which was cool. Like, it was just cool. It was a great weekend. It really was. Daddy Wolf, thanks for the super chat, my friend. He says, cheers to our skeleton crew. Proud of them. Injuries are bad in a part of sports, period. Always, right? Like, football especially. It's 100% injury rate. Like, I say it all the time. Like, people talk about, like, injury prone. Okay, there are some guys that are injury prone if you're talking constant same soft tissue injuries and whatever else. And then sometimes, man, injuries just happen. The problem isn't so much injuries. It's stacking injuries at the same position that is catastrophic in the NFL, and the 49ers are guilty of that, whether it's their fault or not, whatever. Defensive end and linebackers, good gosh. I mean, you just look, Nick Bosa, done for the year. Mikael Williams, done for the year. Eter Gross Matos, done every other part of the year, right? Like, three of your top defensive ends are out. Look at the linebacker room, okay? Best linebacker, and I almost said some. One of the best linebackers in the history of the game, Hall of Famer Fred Warner, done for the year. Never missed one game in 8 years, and now he's done for the year, right? But then Tatum Bethune goes out. Then Curtis Robinson goes out. Like, it's just like you are stacking injuries at the same spots, and that is what is killer and catastrophic. But you have to give credit. Thank you, Wolf. Guys showing up. Dude, Curtis Robinson was a badass. And it kind of worked well with what was going on. Like, okay, what is Curtis Robinson? Curtis Robinson is the exact same height, weight, build, speed, length, arm length as Fred Warner. They're identical. And if you listen to our countdown series where we do like a full episode on every single player in the offseason, like, Curtis Robinson is 99%. Like, you stand him next to Fred Warner, they look identical, man. They really, really do. Now, is he Fred Warner? Of course not. He's not. But what is Fred Warner? He's an amazing coverage player. What is Curtis Robinson? He's a good coverage player. Now, you look at what Tatum Bethune brings. Well, he's a great run defender. Well, you just played a game in which the Cardinals, Jacoby Brissett broke the record for the franchise record for most completed passes ever. Well, Curtis Robinson was one of the highest graded players pass coverage, and it showed on tape. Like, it's hard to throw around players that are that tall with long arms, wingspan, and speed in space, which he has. Curtis Robinson's not a bad player. When everybody's like, man, we need Nick Martin to be the backup Mike. And No. You need the coverage guy there, especially with our safeties. But Curtis Robinson is not a downgrade from Tatum Bethune. He's just different. Tatum's great versus the run. Curtis, great, better versus the pass. And it's not like Curtis Robinson's bad against the run. Dude had 8 tackles in half the game. He had 4 solo stops. But I don't think that the ceiling is as high as Tatum Bethune could be, but it's just, it's kind of like the left guard spot where you have like a good run guy, you have a good pass guy. And whenever you're into backups in the NFL, it's kind of hard to get the complete package, because if they were that, they wouldn't be the backup in the first place, right? Look at Aziz, look at Dre Greenlaw. That's kind of what it is. But you get these guys that are kind of like, man, really good at this, but subject at that, to say the nice thing. But man, yeah, Wolf, skeleton crew comes in there. Curtis Robinson is a guy the 49ers freaking love, dude. They love him. They love that dude. But yeah. You got to give him props there. Well said, Wolf. Now, here we go. From CA4DC, thanks for the super chat. Great seeing Purdy back. But anyone else notice him start staring down receivers and throwing into double, triple coverage when primary target was covered? It comes across in tape. Brock Purdy's greedy. He is greedy. And there was one play in particular. It was a check down to Kittle where he did not want to do it at all. It was like the clearest bifurcation from watching Mac Jones tape to Brock Purdy tape. And this is why you got 40 points. You look at the efficiency of Mac Jones while he was the quarterback. Dude, Mac would have checked that ball down to George Kittle 2 seconds or left. Like, and this was, I forget who it was that was talking. I think it was a Tom House. I don't remember who it was. But they were talking about the difference between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, right? Which, come on, man. We're talking Brock Purdy and Mac Jones. Completely, completely different. But the idea was this. Peyton Manning would take the check down every single time. Every single time. Talk about Marshall Faulk, you know, you're playing with whatever. Like, it just kind of makes sense. Whereas Tom Brady, later in his career, started getting to the point where, like, dude, he was looking deep first. And I know they both played so long that you can kind of go against both those if you talk about Denver or whatever else. But this was, you know, a quarterback coach that was just saying the difference in the two. And you see Brock Purdy is waiting on that deep in-break. He's staring down Ricky Pearsall. And they covered it perfectly. And you just see, like, the body language of, you know, Brock Purdy just being like, all right, I'm going to check it down. But it was like after 3 seconds. Now, the offensive line did their job. You checked it down. George Kittle catches it, turns, gets a first down. But Brock Purdy is greedy. That can be a bad thing. But in a game where they weren't getting much pass rush, one sack, right? Like, why not be greedy? Why not? Like, this is the difference between 20-point games and 40-point games. You've got to get those explosives. And yeah, there were some turnover-worthy plays. Those are going to come with Brock Purdy. And thankfully, they didn't capitalize on those. Very similar to how the 49ers have not capitalized on those other ones. But man, like, I don't know. But I don't disagree with you, CA. I really, really don't. And it's nice to have Purdy back. I'm very thankful about that. I really, really am. Right here, Silent, thanks for the super chat, my friend. He says, is it just the cards or did Purdy's mind level up with rest? That dude came out on fire, audibly, you know, canning, going, recognizing man coverage, hitting Kittle on that play. That was like three of the best pass design plays by Shanahan. Shanahan's in his bag. Got Pearsall back. They're going to focus on that. Oh, Kittle and CMC going to have a game. What do you want to stop? Right? This was the whole idea of the Avengers or whatever, and whatever that critique was. Golly, man. Throw for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, and just like chill. Could have been a better game, but yeah, you got 41 points. You got 41 points. Look at Sin. I love this. Simply put, the entire 49ers team came to play versus the Cards. It was a team game. Defense gave up, you know, all those passing yards, almost 200 more total yards, but you forced 3 turnovers. And the missed field goal, that counts as a turnovers on down, technically. But, yeah, right here, Jacob. Don't hold Brissett's numbers against us too much. They had to go one-dimensional. They had to because things were just going so bad. But, you know, you're like, okay, they had 488 total yards. That's insane. But, you know, they rushed for 36 yards, and they had 3 turnovers. They had to do that. They had to. So, yeah, and Jurdog, you know, easy to get greedy when he can run also. Just don't stare him down. Whenever, two things. When Purdy stares, it's in zone coverage. And he's waiting on the clear, that deep end breaker, to clear the backer dropping. But what Jonathan Gannon did, the DC for the Cardinal head coach slash DC, was he kept inverting cover two. And so what would happen is it looks like a two high safety look, which it was, but then they would rotate. They do a lot of three safety stuff, and they drop their nickel. And so they would basically bring one of the safeties down in a robber roll in that inverted deep cover two, right? It's the Tampa two, but it's like an inverted look to try to get you to guess wrong. And that's one of the plays where he almost threw the interception over the middle where he was staring down. It's like, okay, it was open, but that safety came down and then dropped back. Jalen Thompson had some pretty nasty buzz coverages coming through there, which was really, really cool. They got him on the touchdowns whenever he was manned up against Kittle, though. But like on those plays, it's an anticipation throw, and it's against zone. But yeah, I'm with you. I am with you. But you have to. You don't get those plays with Mac Jones. Those plays don't come with Mac Jones because Mac ain't waiting. Mac is like, oh, not there immediately. Check down. Not there immediately. Check down. And that's why you get the efficiency, but not the points. I don't know. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yeah, right here, Sin, playing it safe versus going for it. Brock, his 2022 season versus Brock now is totally different. This dude is a gambler. You even heard him talk about it at a post-game press conference. Man, just rip it. Just rip it. Just rip it. Just rip it. It's what it is. Right here, Cam's dad, appreciate you. After Sunday's game, I think the Super Bowl is a possibility. Okay, let's talk playoffs. Playoffs. Yeah, like, I got to get my thoughts together on this because I want to change something that I was going to say in my notes. So give me just a second. But if you go to any game this year, guys, you got to get your tickets through TickPick. They are the best in the business. Check them out if you haven't yet. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right. And again, we'll be at the last two remaining road games at Cleveland here in 2 weeks. We're hoping to have those details 100% finalized, contract signed in the next 48 hours. So stay tuned for those details. But we will be there 100%. And Indianapolis, we will be there as well. So, come hang out with us. Let's get it done. We always have a good time out there. So, Cam's dad, back to your thing. One, I love fans. And Cam's dad's the freaking man. We suck to we're not making the playoffs to winning the Super Bowl. Not saying that's Cam's dad's stance, but he says after Sunday's game, I think Super Bowl is a possibility. Man, talk to me about where the 49ers sit. You're 7-4. All right. If the playoffs were today, you would be the seventh seed. The NFC, it's got a lot. There is no dominant team in the NFC. There's not one. The team that's probably the most dominant right now is the Rams, right? Tore the 49ers up with our backup quarterback and whatever else. They go out and they beat the Seattle Seahawks barely. Came down to the last second and they forced four interceptions. Like, Rams are good. I'm not here to say like, oh, so terrible. We already beat the Rams in their house. In fact, the 49ers swept the entire division on the road. You want at Arizona. You want at Los Angeles, you won at Seattle. The 49ers have the most divisional wins in the NFL. No other team in the NFL has four divisional wins. 49ers are 4-1. No other, not just the NFC, the entire NFL, all 32 teams, guess who has the most divisional wins? It's the 49ers. Conference wins, guess who has the most conference wins? Well, the 49ers are tied there with 7. The Eagles also have 7 wins. Now, the Eagles are 7-1 in the conference. 49ers are 7-2. They are right in this area where, one, tiebreakers galore. They're going to win the tiebreaker. The only team they won't win the tiebreaker with is the Tampa Bay Bucks because you lost in the road there. So if you are tied with any team, you are going to win the tiebreaker because of divisional record and because even if you lose to the Seahawks, the Seahawks already have 2 divisional losses. At worst, you tie them there. Then you go to conference wins. They only have 4 conference. They're 4-3 in the conference. You'd win there. Then you go to strength of victory. You're actually tied with them there. So the NFC is not good. There's a lot of average to slightly above average teams, and I would put the 49ers in that category because of the defense. But man, you've got the Carolina Panthers who are 6-5. They have a winning record. You win that game, like the Niners are so stinking close, guys. Like, I looked up the predictor chart thing. And so this is just, again, by record using the 17-game schedule and 7 playoff teams in each conference, here's the percentage of NFL teams that make the playoffs. The 49ers are 7-4. You look at the 7-4 and what that gets, that's an 80% chance to make the playoffs. Now, this doesn't take into account divisional and conference records and the tiebreakers and whatever else. It's just historically speaking, across the NFL average, this record, making the playoffs, you're at an 80% chance. Now, to make that better, dude, you only have 2 road games left out of 6. You have 4 games at home. You have a bye week. The only team that is in contention for the playoffs in the NFC, you're the only team that hasn't had a bye week yet. You're going to get a whole week off. People are going to get better. You're going to be able to install some new things. Like, who knows if somebody comes back? I don't think Brandon Ayuk's coming back at all this year. I don't even think that's a possibility. But could you win the Super Bowl? Why not? You make it to the dance, we'll see. Do I think that this is a Super Bowl caliber team? I don't like that question a lot. It's possible. You get hot with this offense and special teams. You win 2 out of 3 of the phases of the game. Defense gets to capitalize on a turnover or two. You can beat anybody in the NFL. You can beat anybody in the NFL. I truly believe that. Name a team. Shoot, you want to talk about the Denver Broncos? Who was it that destroyed the Broncos? Didn't they get like destroyed early on? No, they lost to the Colts and the Chargers, but they've been red hot lately. But like, if you had to play the Broncos, are you just like, oh no, man, there's no way. Like, there is not a team in the NFL that is just like, wow. And even if you go back to the historically best team in NFL history in the regular season, the Patriots, when they go 17-0, how'd that work out for them in the Super Bowl? Oh, they lost to a 7 seed? Dude, you get into the dance, anything can happen. Anything could happen. Jerdog, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. NFC North going to beat up on each other to our benefit, especially with our NFC and divisional record. 49ers have the easiest schedule left of any team that's close. Any team, I went through and I counted, okay, quality opponents the 49ers have to face in their 6 remaining games. And I forgot who put this out, but we have 3, right? So the Colts, the Bears, the Seahawks. There are 3. Like, I did not count the Panthers, but if you want to count the Panthers, that's cool. Like, you know, the Bears are in first place. Colts are in first place. Seahawks, they're in second place. But you want to throw Carolina Panthers in there, cool. Like, I don't mind that. You're playing them at home. It's a Monday Night Football game. Whatever, whatever, whatever. But, man, every other team that we're fighting for had 4-plus quality opponents left because they have 7 games. And a difficult schedule. You still got the Browns and Titans. Now, you got to win these games. And again, I just talked about how any team can beat the other team on any given Sunday. But man, the 49ers are going to be favored. They're 7-point favorites against the Panthers. They're going to be favored against the Browns. They're going to be favored against the Titans. Colts, probably not, on the road. They're going to be favored against the Bears. The 49ers will be favored in that game. Seahawks at home. Probably not. You're going to be favored in 4 out of 6 games. You win 3, you're in. You get to 10 wins. I've been telling you guys for a long time. They go 10-7. Man, they're making the playoffs. They're making it. You go 11. Now we're talking some business. Back to Camp's dad again. Thank you so much, man. He says, we broke the glass ceiling with the interception and kickoff return. It changes everything. I know a lot of people are talking about the pass rush. There is no pass rush. Name a team that is 100% complete right now. You can't do it. You can't do it. And yeah, Shade, I'm with you. 57 dropbacks, 13 pressures, brutal. It's awful. It is awful. But how are you going to win? You got to find a way. Is this a 2023 team? What were the playoffs like for that 2023 dominant team? What was that like? You had 3 come from behind. Well, 2 come from behind victories. You came back down 4 times in the fourth quarter in overtime. Like, it's not going to be easy. You just got to find a damn way. You got to. Thomas, worst defensive statistically have won the Super Bowl. And so, like, I want to steer this conversation away from Super Bowl to playoffs. You get to the playoffs, it's a game-by-game basis. Let's see what happens. Shed Ed can win in the playoffs. Dude has an 8-4 playoff record. Are you insane? That's better than his dad. This dude is like a couple playoff wins away from being like historically on like the top 10 almost all time list, Kyle Shanahan. He builds teams that win in the playoffs. Brock Purdy, you got a quarterback that's already done it. Ah, you got to get in, man. You got to get in. Get in. See what happens. Silent. My question is, how in the world would you generate a pass rush with this roster as constructed? It doesn't go well. I love the Robert Saleh five-man pressure packages. Don't commit to the 6-7 guys. Don't do that. Don't do that. You got to get in. Get into the dance. See what happens. And again, like, you can pick the 49ers apart and say, oh, you don't have that. That's not perfect. That's not perfect. That's not perfect. That's not perfect. And you're not wrong, but it's a matchup game against one single opponent. That's what you got to do. That's what you the 49ers haven't had a pass rush for a long time, and it hasn't been good for a long time. But you got 7 wins right here. Mr. Big Joe, funny John brings up never 7 Giants beating the Patriots, but John doesn't bring up the Giants had a pass rush. Yeah, that's how they won, but that Giants offense was dog trash. We have a better offense. Like, we don't have to beat the 2000-whatever Patriots. That's not who you have to beat. Like, not going anywhere in the playoffs with no pass rush. You might be right. You might be right. But nobody's going to have a better offense than the 49ers. 40-hour special teams, you win 2 out of 3 phases of the game. You can win any game in the NFL, period. I don't think that the 49ers have a Super Bowl squad. I don't. I don't believe that. But there's nobody in the NFC that scares me. You get into the playoffs, see what happens. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to discount that the 49ers could do it. That's what I was trying to achieve. I hope you aren't walking away from this saying, John Chapman thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl. That ain't what I'm saying at all. I think the 49ers are making the playoffs. That's what I think. I think once you get in, if you have a quality coach, 49ers do, and you have a quarterback that can perform well in the playoffs, which the 49ers do, I think that you can win some games. Am I betting that the 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl? I am not. I am not. I am not. I am not. Right here. What's up, Mattitude? He says, finally made it a live show all the way from Michigan. What's up? I know you travel far on this internet server. But, man, I appreciate you. And I love it when people let me know it's like, you know, they don't make it a lot of times. I love seeing new names. I love seeing all that. So I appreciate you. Cam's dad, appreciate the super chat one more time before I go pick up the kiddo. I'm taking his college class. I got to go get him here in a second. He says, Arizona penalties, holding calls was due to our rush. Oh, well said. Nuanced take. I'll take it. Pass rush is going to be bad, guys. It really is. I wonder, can I do this? Let's go back. I am curious. How many sacks did the 49ers get in those playoff games against in 2023? Let's pull this up. So, and this could go against what my opinion is. Obviously, I want a great pass rush. The 49ers are not a complete team. They don't have, like, pass rush is terrible. The Packers game in 2023, which the 49ers won 24-21. The 49ers had 1 sack. They had 1 sack. 1. The next game against the Detroit Lions, the 49ers had 2 sacks for 9 yards. Then you go to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, the 49ers had 1 sack for 4 yards. Like, this 49ers team can get that many sacks. They can. Yeah, did they do it against Arizona? No. But they changed the way they were calling the game because they were up 35-10 in the fourth quarter or third quarter. So I'm not trying to say that they have a good pass rush. I'm not trying to say that they're the Giants, whatever. Every analogy breaks down at some point, period. But like, it's not like we were the great. It's not 2019 was different. Nick Bosa had 10 pressures in one game in the Super Bowl. Like, that dude was different 2019. I mean, he was defensive player of the year. Comparing this team, the 49ers, 2025 to 2019 makes no sense whatsoever. They are built completely different. But this 2023 team, maybe. Shane, my man, thank you for the super chat. Little wild here, but what if they changed from bend don't break to aggressive for 2 to 3 turnovers a game if we're going to give up 400 plus yards anyway? Turnovers were key in the game this last week. You look at the Giants game against Jackson Dart, and you look at Jacoby Brissett Cardinals game. Robert Saleh's defense was make this quarterback beat us with these weapons, right? Neither quarterback got close to doing it. Yeah, they threw for 488 yards, but, dude, you did get 3 turnovers. And now the Cardinals should have scored 30-plus points with the missed field goal, the fumble at the 1-yard line, whatever else. But now, are you going to be playing the playoffs against Jackson Dart and Jacoby Brissett? No. Can you start to do with this defense against quality quarterbacks? Yeah, you got to see how that goes. Matt Stafford's the most terrifying, you know, in this division, but it's not like you haven't beat him before. Like Jalen Hurts, no. I know he's performed very well in Super Bowls. You know, the Bears, we're going to find out soon. The Bucks, Baker Mayfield kind of did his thing to us. Sam Darnold, let's calm down whenever it matters most. The Packers, Jordan Love, come on, man. Like, very, very talented, but not consistent. I'm just saying, Jared Goff kind of scares me a little bit if you can't get pressure on him, but are they even going to make the playoffs? They're out of the playoffs right now. I don't expect them to change, Shane. Not that you're wrong. Saleh doesn't change. Saleh, he's that guy that stays to who he is. So I do not expect that change to take place at all. I don't expect it to change. But I wouldn't – he ain't going to change. It's gonna stay. Bend, don't break. Win with special teams and offense. You win 2 out of 3 phases of the game. You should win the game, period. You win with special teams. You win with offense. Niners have that. That's the recipe. That's a recipe. You win with special teams and offense. That's what this team should do. That's if you do that, the 49ers are back in control. Look at that. See that? Title of the episode. Oh, wrapped it up. Look at that, man. Oh, I don't think it mattered to anybody else but me, but I'm happy we did that. Anyway, you guys are the best. I have to run. I got to go pick up the kiddo. I don't like letting them wait. I like to be there early or right on time. It's a problem that I have, but I'm very thankful for you guys. We're going to keep recording. Go check out the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon. Go watch this tape. Trust me. It will make you feel better about being a fan. You'll learn. I'll walk you through why things work, why Pearsall didn't have the crazy receiving yard game, but why it is coming. Go check it out. 49ers in control. You are the best. And until next time, great. Almost messed up my sign off. Stay strong, faithful.